Always push the button. We've come as far as chapter 60, and we're in that place. Unfortunate for the chapter breaks, but chapter breaks are good for us, so that's a good thing. But just to keep it in context, let's go back to let's go back to verse 20 of chapter 59, and it says, "And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord, as for me, this is my covenant." Is the Lord certainly speaks of what he's going to do and what he is going to offer to his people. "My spirit that is upon thee and my words which I have put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. So arise and shine." And certainly an encouragement for us, an encouragement for Israel. We know that what we're going to see here in chapter 60 is more of end times, more of the thousand-year reign of Jesus. But certainly we can apply it to our own hearts and lives as we see that God's covenant is with us because we're his children. As we put our faith and trust in who Jesus is, and trust him and walk with him, then he gives us these promises just to walk in, that we can arise, we can shine, because our light has come, Jesus has come, and his glory is upon us. It's his glory that people see. It's what we want people to see is they behold us, not to see us for who we are, but to see Jesus for who he is in us and what he can do. So arise and shine, for your light has come. And isn't that a wonderful thing that Jesus has come in one day to come again? We're just so grateful that we have that promise, that we have that hope, that one day this snow won't be here. He'll keep it in his treasuries. Maybe we can ask for that. I don't know. It won't matter when we get to heaven, though. The glory of the Lord is risen upon us. And for Israel as a nation, certainly we look at it as that. We can certainly apply it to our own lives and just encourage ourselves in that he has given us his light, that he has shown his glory upon us because of who he is and because of his love, not because of our goodness, but all because of who he is and what he's done, that he's brought salvation to the world. He's brought salvation to our lives, and that light has come, and his glory is now upon us. "For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth." So we see that's going to happen. The end times are going to come. Gross darkness. Not just darkness, but gross darkness. Complete darkness. It's going to be on the people. "But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee." As the darkness of the tribulation period comes, then after that seven-year period, we're going to see the Lord rule and reign here on this earth. Jesus is going to come down, step on planet earth again in Jerusalem. Great earthquake, splitting the mountain in two, and the water just flowing out from the throne of God. In Jesus then ruling and reigning for 1,000 years, the Lord is going to arise upon them, and his glory shall be seen upon Israel. And we know the promises that all the nations are then going to come to Israel just to see and just to come into worship. And what a blessing that's going to be. Can you imagine now if people would just flock to come meet with Jesus? It's interesting, when 9/11 happened, every church, I think, had to open its doors at noon because people were just flocking to churches, just wanting to be in a place. How come? What's going to happen? Is this the end? And just all the questions that were coming. It was very short-lived, but at least the opportunity was there for some to get saved. And we're thankful for those opportunities, and God used it. But can you imagine if that was an every moment thing, that people were just going to come and flock and just see who this Jesus was and come and worship him? Just unbelievable times that this is going to be, and we're going to come with Jesus. He tells us when he comes, we're going to follow him, and we're going to be with him and rule and reign here. And it says, then the Gentiles shall come to thy light, to Israel, the light that they have because Jesus is there, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. They're going to come, not just people who are searching, but everybody's going to come. Kings, princes, common folk, everybody's just going to come to Israel just to see Jesus, just to worship, and just to be in that place of knowing that Jesus is King. And I'm so grateful that we get to know that now. We're already ahead of the schedule. And I'm so grateful for that, for what he's done in our lives. So lift up your eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. Lift up your eyes and look and see what's going on around. And certainly that's an encouragement for us even now, to lift up our eyes and see the signs of the times, to lift up our eyes and just look heavenward. Remember Stephen, when he was martyred, it says that he looked to heaven and beheld the glory of the Lord and saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God. As they're sitting there ready to stone him, baring their teeth at him because he was speaking truth to their hearts, and he saw the glory of the Lord. Oh, for us to look around and see the glory of the Lord and things that are happening and things that are going on now. Certainly then, but even now, to see what's happening. And Lord, I see you moving and I see you working. And I see it's your glory. And just, to rest in that and to trust that. And just to have that hope. Just such a wonderful thing. So lift up your eyes round about. Don't have your eyes focused on the circumstances of the world. They're going to discourage you. They're going to be awful. We see the political situation going on now, and we're going to see the signs and hear the advertisements from now till November. So keep your TVs off. You won't have to worry about it. And if you lift up your eyes high enough, you won't even see the lawn signs. You can just get beyond that. Jesus is King, not any Democrat or Republican or whoever. It's Jesus that's King. So lift up your eyes round about and see. All they that gather themselves together, they will come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then you shall see and flow together, and your heart shall fear and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea or the Gentile nations shall be converted unto thee. It tells us in Revelation and in other places that the sea was like crystal. It was just calm and pure, and in speaking of just all the people groups, all the peoples that were there, the sea of people. So the Gentile nations are going to be converted unto the God of Israel. The forces of the Gentiles shall come to thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. Just speaking of the richness of what was going to happen in Israel, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, and they shall come from Sheba or Saudi Arabia, and they're going to bring gold and incense, and they're going to show forth all the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar, where Kuwait is now, shall be gathered together unto thee, the rams of Nebaioth, or the tribes of Ishmael. Are going to minister unto thee. So there's going to be salvation. There's going to be a drawing. There's going to be an interest in who this God is. And they shall come up with acceptance upon mine altar, upon his altar. Notice it's not Israel's altar. It's God's altar. It's always about God, not about a people group. It's about who God is. And I will glorify the house of my glory. God is going to do it. We can't do that. Only God can do that. And when God brings his glory, it's a sure glory. And it's a real glory. Our glory only lasts for a season. You know, we have this time of beauty, and we have this time of handsomeness, and we have this time of cool, and or we think we do anyway. But it's very short-lived. And then it just goes, because there's always somebody else on the scene that's just a little bit better and has a little bit more. But God's glory lasts forever, and there's nothing to outshine that. There's nothing to take the place of it, because His glory is forever. And so that's where we want to look. That's where we want to be. This beauty that we have now is just temporary. We're like flowers that fade, and grass that's wilted and burned and cut down. But God's glory lasts forever. And He says, I am going to glorify the house of my glory. it's all about who God is. And God's not sitting here boasting. And He's just telling it like it is. This is who I am. This is who you are. It's for me. I've created all of this. It's going to be for my glory. Not so that I am something that you can see, but so that you realize the goodness of who I am to you. And we see that glory, and we just rejoice in that. We get glimpses of it even now when we enter into salvation, and we come to that place of just reading His word and seeing how glorious it is and wonderful. And we get glimpses of that, just the glory of God working in our lives to change us. I mean, look back from the day you got saved, your BC days, and see where you are now, and just go, oh, if it was left up to me, I never would have gotten this far. Because people can reform themselves and stop drinking, and people can reform themselves and stop doing drugs, but only God can put glory on people. And only God can save. We can reform ourselves, but we can't save ourselves. Only God can do that. And He says, who are these that fly as a cloud and doves to their windows? Surely the isles, just speaking of all the peoples that are going to be coming, surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish or the Phoenician cities are going to bring sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, under the name of the Lord. And the name of the Lord is just the character, the nature of who God is. They're going to want to see this character. Remember when Solomon was ruling and reigning, forgot her name. It just went
Sheba.
Mine just went completely south. Yeah, that's where she was. She was south. But she came up because she heard of the wisdom of Solomon. She heard what Solomon's God did for him, but she couldn't believe it from other people. She wanted to see it firsthand. And that's what's happening here. They want to see who this God is. They want to see what He's doing. And isn't it wonderful when people come up to you and say, I want what you have. And we know what we have. We have Jesus. And we know it's not us they're coming to see. We know it's Him that they're coming to see. That's what they want, is what He is, not what we are. They're coming to His character, His nature. They want to see this nature, this character of the Lord God, His attributes, His holiness, His purity. And they want to see it and experience it and get the results of it. And they come to the Holy One of Israel, because He hath glorified thee. Isn't that wonderful? And you look and you go, God, I don't deserve this. And He goes, I know. But I have, because that's my nature. When you come to me and give yourself to me, my glory rests upon you. And I've given you my heart. I've given you my son. I've given you real life. And so the glory that people see, the goodness that people see, is just my goodness. They're drawn to His nature, His character. And the sons of the strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, that 7-year tribulation period, now over. But in my favor have I had mercy on thee. And we think, mercy? Tribulation period was mercy? Yes, it was mercy to stop sin. It was mercy to leave some alive and to bring them so that they could see his glory and come to salvation, because we know there's going to be salvation in that 1,000-year reign. Not everybody is. There's still going to be people who are going to shake their fist at God and cry out in desire to be away from his presence, and they're going to get what they're asking for. Mercy. God's always merciful to us, always gracious, because he doesn't have to deal with us, but he does in his mercy and his grace. And we just appreciate that, and we love that, and we should be rejoicing in that. He said, I'm going to build up your walls. I'm going to build up your fortification. In their kings, the Gentile kings, all the nations that are coming around, their kings are going to minister to you, Israel. Imagine. You know, right now in the world, there's only one nation that's standing with Israel, and that's us. And it tells us in Scripture that soon we're going to be against them too. And we know when that happens that the prince of this world is going to come and become the Antichrist and set up his temple. And they're going to go for it because of the Treaty of Peace. But right now, every nation is against them. But in that period, look at what it says. They're all going to come and minister to Israel. Instead of being against them, they're going to come for him, for them. Isn't that amazing? I can't wait to see that. Just like we told you all this time and nobody listened. And now they see it. They're going to build up those walls and the kings are going to minister to them. But in my favor have I had mercy on thee. Therefore thy gates shall be open continually. Can you imagine the gates of a city always being open? The gates of your homes always unlocked, always there. Isn't that wonderful? Like it used to be. Yeah. Back in the 40s and 50s, you could leave your car unlocked and know it would still be there in the morning. But you can't do that anymore. You can't even be at home and leave your door unlocked in many places. I remember when we first got saved, we lived in the city, and I think it was like 11 o'clock at night. This lady just comes walking in the door and just wanted diapers for her baby. I don't think she really wanted diapers, because Kath tried to say, well, I'll go get you some diapers. Well, no, just give me the money. But she just came walking in the door. I was just like, oh my, what are we doing here? And we're up and the lights are on. She just come waltzes in. And she's like, who else could have come in? Man, you just can't do it anymore, even when you're home. You know, when I leave in the morning, I always make sure the door is locked, even though she's home. I don't want anybody walking in the middle of the day, just saying, hey, anybody here? We know God protects, but he also gives us wisdom to know these things and to take care of those things. And we know he'll take care of us, even if we do things foolishly, because he's still with us and he loves us. And a good father always takes care of his kids. But boy, what a wonderful thing it is when Israel is going to be able to leave their gates open. Can you imagine if they left their gates open now? If they opened the walls from Gaza to Israel? Man, the Palestinians would be invading. And they opened the borders and they took down their walls. Ooh, everybody would be coming through. They're going to try anyway, but thank goodness for what it is. But in this time, the gates are going to be open continually, and they shall not be shut day nor night. The Lord emphasizing that when he comes, the Prince of Peace comes, he's going to rule with a rod of iron, and things are going to be as they should be. It hasn't meant for this world to be like this. We've just made it like this because of our sin. And sin is so awful. That men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, that their kings may be brought. The wealth of the nations just coming to Israel. For the nation and the kingdom that will not serve thee shall perish. Woe. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. And we go, really? Hold the place here. Go to Zechariah. We'll go to Malachi, last book of the Old Testament. Go back one, and you got Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 14. And we see this said over again here. Let's pick up at verse 9 just for context, because we're talking again about the kingdom being come to earth. And it says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And he's not now. We know he's going to be then. He's going to be king over all the earth. Can't wait for that. In that day there shall be one Lord, in his name one. Not many, and it's not going to be any man. His name is Jesus. Ugh. And all the land shall be turned as a plain from Geba to Rimmon, south of Jerusalem, and it shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place, from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And if you want to get into all that, Nehemiah is a great book to talk about the walls and the gates and who's building them and how it's going to come together. And it's just a wonderful study. So we just see all these gates and all these walls that are being built. And men are going to dwell in it. And there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. We know it's not now, so we know this has got to be future. But look at what he says here. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord will smite the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand on their feet. Whoa. And their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. Certainly sounds like some nuclear warfare stuff or some kind of plague that comes through. Many believe it's a all-out nuclear war. Don't know. Certainly it's going to be he says it's a plague. I'll take God's word for it. And it's going to come to pass in that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them, and they shall lay hold everyone on the hand of his neighbor, and his hand shall rise up against the hand of his neighbor. And Judah also shall fight at Jerusalem, and all the wealth of the heathen round about it shall be gathered together, gold and silver, and apparel in great abundance. And so shall be the plague of the horse, the mule, the camel, of the ass, and all the beasts that are in these tents of this plague. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is left of all the nations which came against Jerusalem shall even go up from year to year to what? To worship the king. The plagues are going to come against those that don't come to favor Israel. Just like Isaiah says, Zechariah confirms. Just the confirmation that's all the way through the word. Such a wonderful thing just to keep the whole Bible as one book. They're going to come up to worship the king. And I don't know about your Bible. Mine's got capital K-I-N-G. There's only one king. His name is Jesus. It's not going to be a king of the earth. It's going to be the king over everything. The Lord of hosts. To keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it shall be that whoso will not come up of all the families of the earth unto Jerusalem to worship, just like Isaiah said, to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, even upon them shall be no rain. There's going to be destruction. There's going to be a dryness. And that's what happens when we don't come to worship the King. There's a dryness in our lives. There's a dryness in our souls because we're not worshiping the right King. We're worshiping a small K instead of capital K. We're worshiping one who isn't the King of Kings. And he says, when that's going to happen, there's going to be a famine. There's going to be no rain. And if the family of Egypt go not up and come not, that have no rain, there shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite the heathen that come up not to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. This shall be the punishment for Israel and the punishment for all the nations that will not come up to keep the Feast of the Tabernacles. Just like Isaiah says, Zechariah confirms. Just a wonderful tying together of just God's word just being one word. Men cannot put all these things together. There had to be a supernatural writing of these words, and our Bibles tell us that it was so, that every word of God is given by inspiration of God. And it's for our instruction. It's for our keeping. And that's what we want it to be. That's the way we need to look at it. Is God, you inspired this word. What are you speaking to my heart? What are you speaking to my life? What are you speaking into me right now? And that's what we get to do to others too. When we minister to them as the Lord's people, we get to minister the word of God into their life. And we don't know what that's going to bring out of their life. We just know that this is what God wants for us and wants with us to be able to do, is to speak life into people. And when you speak the words of God, you're speaking life into their hearts. You're interrupting where they are, and they may not like it, but you're giving them everything that God wants them to have. Isn't that such a wonderful thing that God allows us to do that? Us who were his enemies until he saved us. He now allows us to be in his army. He now allows us to be his priests and his ministers. He now allows us to speak life into other people. Ah, oh, what a wonderful thing. So back in Isaiah here. Yes?
Before we go back there, in Zechariah, the very last verse, it says at the very last sentence, in that day there shall no longer be a Canaanite in the house of the Lord. What is Canaanite referring to?
It's more of... Yeah, it's more of the idolatrous worship that was going on, because that's what Canaan had, was idolatrous worship. There's going to be just no idolatry there, which is just a wonderful thing. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, because where God is, there can be no idolatrous worship. So really, that's what it's speaking about, is just that. That idolatry. And it's interesting, as you look at Israel, when they came back from Babylon, they haven't really had any trouble with idolatry. They have trouble with believing who God is still, but they really haven't had trouble with idolatry. Because remember, before they left to Babylon, they had Ashtaroth, they had all these other idols that were all over Israel, that they're finding little gods all over the excavations and everything else. But since they came back from Babylon, they really haven't had any trouble with idolatry. Interesting that in God's place there is going to be no idolatrous worship. Certainly they're, in the one sense, they do have idolatrous worship, because they're worshiping self, and that becomes an idol. But these little statues, they really don't have all over the place. It's amazing. Compared to what they used to have, the Molechs, where they would offer their babies, and the abortion of the old times. It just is an amazing thing. So he says then in verse 11, we did 11. Therefore your gates shall be open continually, and not shut them day or night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, that their kings may be brought. For nation and kingdom that will not serve thee will perish, yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto me, and the fir tree, and the pine tree, and the box altogether, to beautify the place of my sanctuary. Instead of thorns and thistles, there's going to be these wonderful trees, the fir trees and the pine trees and the elder trees that would just bring a beauty to God's sanctuary. And I will make the place of my feet glorious. The sons also of them that hath afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee. The ones who afflicted you are going to come bowing down to you. And so from here to the end of the chapter, we really see, I think there's 9 things that are going to happen to Israel during this time because of who God is. It wasn't because the people got any better. It was because God was there. And we can look at those things individually and say, are these things that are happening in my life? Because we were enemies of God. We afflicted God. We grieved God. But now we're going to come bowing to him. So we see that already takes place in our life. That's one of the signs that God is working in a nation and in a life, is that we come bending to Him. We come bowing down to Him. And certainly we want our hearts and our lives bowed down before Jesus. Because He's worthy of our worship. He's worthy of all our adoration. As you look at Revelation and you look and see what happens to the 24 elders and the beasts, and all they're doing is saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," and then everybody falls down and worships. And they just do it over and over and over, and it seems like it's eternal, which is okay. And we're going to be part of that. Can you bow down before Him now? Even with the situations that are coming into your life, are you able to still bow before Jesus and say, "Lord, thank you for bringing this into my life, because it's causing me to bow before you and realize I have a need of you, Lord." The things that are going to happen when God comes into a life and into a nation. And all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of your feet. And we bow at the feet of Jesus, because we realize what He's done for us. And they shall call thee, speaking of Israel, the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. Because it's all about the Lord. So the second thing then, in verse 15. Whereas you have been forsaken and hated, and certainly every nation is going to forsake Israel pretty much now. Everybody but America, and even half of America is pretty much forsaken Israel. Even much of the church has forsaken Israel, which is a sad thing, because Israel is still a place that God loves. Where you have been forsaken and hated, and again, for our own application, because we were against God, we were forsaken and we were hated, because the world hates us. But now we're going to be raised up because of who we are in Christ, and Israel is going to be raised up, so that no man went through thee. I will make thee an eternal excellency. Not just an excellency, but an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Look at that. Israel is going to be a joy to the world. No longer a cup of trembling, but now a joy to the world. They're going to love it that Israel is there, because Israel's God is there. Not because of what Israel is, but because of the God of Israel. And we certainly go through that, because we were forsaken. Now we're being dwelt in by the Holy Spirit of God. And it just brings joy to our lives and joy to those around us. You shall also, verse 16, suck the milk of the Gentiles, or the Gentiles are going to nourish thee, and shall suck the breast of kings. All these rulers and all these ruling nations are going to come and nurture Israel. They're going to come and help them out and restore unto them the things that God has for them. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And so they're going to be strengthened. And that's the third thing that's going to be happening in your life and in a nation's life that turns themselves over to the Lord, is they're going to be strengthened. They're going to be nurtured. And certainly God's Word does that to us. We feed on the milk of the Word, and then we go to the meat of the Word, and we get strengthened and build up and just able to perform and able to move and have our being because of God's strength. And so the strengthening that's going to happen is God's strength. And we go from strength to strength, don't we? We go from glory to glory. We get discouraged. We get despondent. We get beat down. And then the Lord comes and nourishes us. He gives us a word of encouragement. He gives us a comfort that goes well beyond anything that we've had from this world, and we get built up and we get strengthened, and we go, "Thank you, Lord, for the blessing. Thank you, Father, for just giving me the strength." And then the next time that battle comes, we're able to stand in it, because we've already been through it and we know that God is real. And so there's a strengthening that God does in our lives. And then the fourth thing, verse 17. For brass I will bring gold. So he's going to change what's insignificant to something that's precious. And doesn't he do that with our lives? Something that's insignificant because we have nothing to offer anybody. and he makes us refined as pure gold. He refines us and gives us something that we don't have. We're insignificant, and he makes us worthwhile. Ugh. For brass, I'm going to bring gold. Change your brass into gold. Oh boy. For iron, I'm going to bring silver. And for wood, brass. And for stones, iron. Everything is a step up from where it was. And we've made that step up too. And I will also make your officers peace. And thine exactors righteousness. It's amazing. You start looking at that and you go, peace officers. Isn't that what they call the police? And yet, sometimes they don't really bring peace. But when God comes, there's really going to be peace officers. They're really going to bring peace. And that's what we're supposed to be bringing to those around us, is peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. Oh, Lord, make me a peacemaker. And so that's the fifth thing then. There's going to be peace. There's going to be righteousness. The exactors or the judges are going to bring righteousness. They're going to bring right judgments. We won't have to look at judges and go, are you really supposed to be on this bench? And pray too for folks, because sometimes the judges are making awful decisions for people. And it's just awful for the things that are going on. So pray for them. Pray for them that they would make right judgments. Pray for them that they get saved so that they'll start making right judgments. We just want things to go the right way, and certainly is not going the right way. We're letting people out of jail without even getting to jail now. And here, I'll give you an appearance ticket, and maybe you'll show up, but we'll spend more money going after you than we do. Never mind. Can't go there. My heart's already bad. So verse 18 then, violence shall no more be heard in your land, wasting or destruction within your borders. So the six things, there's not going to be violence in your land anymore, because when we were druggies, when we were alcoholics, when we were in the world and trying to make money, we were always violent about the things that we were going for, because we wanted those things in our lives. And he says, I'm going to change that so that there won't be that in your life. It won't be a violent taking that you have. Your heart won't be in that place where you just want your own way. And it's amazing when you sit there, and I sit there at work sometimes and just see all the clashes that are going on. Because some want to be in authority and they're not. And the others are in authority and they want to keep that authority. And the clashes are just going back and forth. And so I just waddle myself out to the back room and just go hide and pray for a while and come back out later and hopefully there's peace. It's just like, really? What are you people doing? But I know I'd be in the midst of it if God hadn't saved me. Amen. Well, I wouldn't be in the midst of it because I'd be dead by now. But God is good. And so violence is no more going to be heard in your land. Won't that be wonderful when one day our hearts won't be divided, that our minds won't be thinking about those things, that our hearts won't rise up when somebody cuts us off on the expressway or somebody says something to us and we get that pirate syndrome where we just growl at them and we just want our own way. We won't have that anymore. Oh, Lord, please, do it quick. Wasting or destruction within your borders, certainly speaking of Israel and certainly speaking for us too. Our houses are supposed to be a place of sanctuary now, not of one of fighting and not of one of destruction. And isn't it wonderful when God builds it up instead of tearing it down? But then you shall call your wall salvation, and your gates are going to be called praise. And I use this verse all the time, and I love it. The walls are there for protection. The gates are there for protection. But when you come to Christ, when you come to that place of having Jesus first, then the safety and the security that you have isn't your own defenses that you've built up to take care of yourself, but it's going to be salvation. And your gates are going to be praise. No longer are your gates going to be something that keeps something out so that you don't have to deal with it. You're going to have praise and salvation. And you see, they always put the walls up first, and then they put the gates in. Because you can't put the gates up and then build the walls around them. It just doesn't work. You always put salvation up first, and then praise comes. God's order. And certainly we need that in our lives. We have salvation, and then praise comes into our lives. The sixth thing that's going to happen is that we know that we have salvation and praise and worship for what that's done to us. And God protects you and keeps you with that. No longer do you have to have that defense of anger and bitterness and hurt that keeps you protected and keeps your heart what you think is protected, even though it's killing you. It's like a cancer inside of you. You now have salvation, which brings healing and hope and wholeness. And you can praise and worship instead of getting angry and fighting. Your walls are salvation, your gates are praise. And again, a great book to go to, Nehemiah, as you see them build the walls and put the gates back together and put the bars on the gates, and the whole thing just ties together. The walls are salvation, the gates are praise. And when God is involved, all that works for his glory and for your good. And wasn't it good when Nehemiah got done with all of that? They built the whole walls of Jerusalem, put all the gates up in 52 days. And if you ever have gone to Jerusalem and you see all that, it's a huge city. And they built it in 52 days, and they didn't have cement mixers. How do you do that? They had God working in their lives, and they worked day and night, and they had a mind to work. To work how? For God. God, you be my strength. You be my protection, and we'll get this done. And that's what he wants to do in your life and my life. He wants to have the walls around us be salvation. And our gates, our eye gates, our ear gates, our mouth gates, wants them to be praise and worship of who God is. So that was the sixth thing then. And then the sun shall be no more your light by day. Whoa, wait a minute here. Neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord. So the seventh thing, the Lord is going to be unto you an everlasting light. Notice it says everlasting. Not just here and gone, but everlasting. So the seventh thing that's going to happen is we don't have to depend on the things of this world to keep us in brightness and to keep things illuminated for us. We can depend on God to illuminate the way for us, because it tells us that the law is a lamp unto our feet. His commandments, his word gives us light, gives us understanding on the way to go. That's what gives us light. And this is going to become into a reality, into a physical thing during that age, because it tells us in Revelation that Jesus, the Lamb, and God are going to illuminate the world. There's going to be no more need for the sun or the moon. And it's all just going to evaporate and go because Jesus is there. And that should be for us now, just a taste of that as we go through this life. The Lord shall be unto you an everlasting light, and your God is going to be your glory. Thy sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord will be thine everlasting light. And didn't Jesus say in the Gospel of John, I am the light of the world? I am. Gee, I wonder where that came from. And he's going to be our light. Is he your light now? To show you the direction that you need to go. To give you hope in the midst of dark times. To give you just direction and understanding for the things that are going on around you. In the days of your mourning shall be ended. Because sin brings destruction, and destruction brings sadness, and it brings us into a place of mourning always. Do you ever meet those Eeyore people who just are constantly unhappy with everything? No matter what goes on, there's something wrong with it. They win the lottery and they go, yeah, but the state took 40%. You still have $100 billion. What are you complaining about? Because I need something to complain about. I'm so thankful you did this for me, but I wish you had done more. Really? And we do that, don't we? And there's Christians that are like that. Eeyore Christians. I'm so happy. It's my birthday. You know, really? This is the best it gets for you? The days of your mourning are going to be ended because Jesus is going to be your joy. And he needs to be our joy. No matter what's going on around us, you can still have joy. Holding that and letting that grow in our lives. And in the nation of Israel, we're going to see that during that time period. So the eighth thing then, in verse 21, and your people also shall be all righteous. Oh, really? Talk about a commune. This is the ultimate commune. And we're going to be there. All the people, just like we saw in Zechariah, where there's going to be no more Canaanite, all the people are going to be righteous. Can you imagine? You know, the grocer isn't ripping you off by charging you too much. You know, those convenience stores where you're going to buy gas and they're not making enough on the gas, so they charge you double the milk price because they know you need it right now, so they're going to double the price and you're going to pay for it because you don't want to go to Wegmans and walk all the way to the back of the store and then all the way back up front just to get to a register and find out that somebody's got 40 coupons ahead of you and you're never going to get through the line. In the self-serve line, it isn't scanning, and you sit there 40 times running the thing over, and it doesn't work. And you're just constantly coming to that place, and he just says, I'm going to be everything that you need. Oh. And there's going to be righteousness. And we know that that's just the Lord's heart. That's the nature of the Lord working in the world and in his people. And that's where we need to be. Lord, I want to be righteous like you. Lord, work that in my life and help me because I can't do it. Not only can I not do it, I don't even want to do it because that's not our nature. Our nature is to be self. And he says, no, our nature is now new because we're new creatures. We're new creations in Christ. Lord, make me righteous and work righteousness into my life. Thy people also shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. No longer is anybody going to take the land from Israel because it's God's land and he's going to give it to whomever he says he's going to give it to. And he said, I'm going to give it to Israel. It's my land. I can give it to who I want to. And it's theirs. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that what? God's going to be glorified. Your righteousness, your wanting to be righteous brings glory to God. And with a righteous nation, it brings glory to who God is. Because we see what happens to a nation that's given over to God. And we see what happens to a nation that's given over to idolatry and idol worship. They're barren, there's famine, there's plagues, there's dryness, there's war, there's anger, there's bitterness. None of the things of a heavenly kingdom are involved in those nations. And we see some of those nations around the world. America's becoming much like it. It's scary that we can gun down cops in daylight because we don't like them. That we can gun down Jews because we think we're the real kingdom and they're not. Just, sadness. Not what God has in store, but this is what he wants and this is where our hearts should go. And then the ninth thing in verse 22, and a little one an insignificant person, because there are no insignificant people with the Lord. But if you're feeling insignificant, a little one is going to become a thousand. A little one, an insignificant one, is just going to become just glorious like a thousand. And a small one, even one smaller than a little one, is going to become a strong nation. They're going to become strong because God is involved. And the Lord says, I, the Lord, will hasten it in His time. I'm going to bring it to pass. You can't bring it to pass. All you can do is submit yourself to me. Start at step one, and I'll work all the rest of those things in your life on the way through, and I'm going to hasten it so that you, thinking that you're an insignificant one, by the time that the Lord deals with you and you come to salvation and you start letting these things work in your life, that He says, by the time I'm done with you, you're like this giant thing that has happened because I'm working in your life. Remember, I've enlarged your coasts. It said in the first verse there. He's going to enlarge them. He's going to enlarge their hearts to be God's heart. How big is God's heart? Oh boy. We can't even go there. But Israel, certainly physically, now only occupies, I think it's like 7,000 square miles. And it's going to be well up into the thousands of square miles that they were supposed to inhabit, that God gave them. And they're going to indwell that one day. But it just shows what we can have and who God is and what we'll settle for if we don't want all of God. Allow God to work in you and through you all that He wants to do. Not just part of it, but all of it. He's so good. I thought we were going to get through 61. I guess we're not even... Man, we'll finish this book yet. Maybe he'll come back first and he can teach it. Oh, Father, we just thank you for your word and just thank you for the truth of it. Thank you for the joy and the peace of it, Lord. And all that it brings to our lives, it brings instruction. It brings understanding. It brings a realization of who we are and all that's going on in our lives of what we want it to be. And yet, Lord, it won't be unless we submit to you, because you're not going to force us. But, Father, you desire for us to have the very best. And, Lord, we want to call the defenses around us salvation. And with every part of us, we just want to praise you and worship you for who you are. Forgiving us salvation, Lord. It doesn't matter how many cement bricks we put up. They're all going to be torn down by somebody. But Father, when you build the wall of salvation, the enemy can't even tear that down. Because Lord, you're the one that keeps it. You're the one that sustains it. And Father, we just praise and worship you for who you are. Thank you, Lord, for your instruction. Thank you, Lord, for your word. May you continue that good work that you've begun in us. And Lord, bring it to a completion one of these days. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.